Dr. Carol Peters Tanksley is one busy woman. She's a practicing OBGYN who also has a Doctor of Ministry and is very active in both her medicine and her ministry practice. And I am really excited to have her share with us today on the Hope for Your Marriage series on Charisma News.
Thinking about buying or refinancing a home? Now's a great time. Check out Christian Community Credit Union's low-rate home loans. Home equity lines of credit are available, too. For a limited time only, get a special offer of no closing costs on a home equity line of credit. And when your home loan or equity credit line funds, you'll get a free 8-piece culinary set. Plus, when you bank with Christian Community Credit Union, your money helps churches and ministries thrive. Don't miss out on their great rate for a new member welcome certificate. For more details, just visit mycccu.com/CPN. Or you can call 800-347-CCCU, extension 4445. Again, that's mycccu.com/CPN. Or 800-347-CCCU, extension 4445. Each account is insured up to $250,000. By member's choice, this institution is not federally insured. Christian Community Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender. Get your free book, Managing God's Money, by Randy Alcorn, when you open an account and become a member.
Welcome, Dr. Carol. I'm so glad to talk to you today.
Oh, Marty, it is great to be with you. I believe there is a lot of hope for your marriage, regardless of whether you've been married a short time or a long time, and thank you for this privilege.
Well, sure, we are. We know that our readers and some of our listeners are familiar with you because your articles appear regularly on our Spirit-Led Women portion of charismamag.com and also on charismanews.com, and that's why I'm a Dr. Carol fan. So now one of the things that I know about you is that you must have spent a ton of time in school. You're a medical doctor and you also have a Doctor of Ministry. Would you tell just a little bit about how you made the decision to, after medical school, at some point you went back for even more school? I'm sure the words glutton for punishment are in there somewhere, but how did that come about?
Oh, that was a God thing, Marty. I knew early on that I could only do so much for the women that I cared for. As an OBGYN physician, I care for women. Mm-hmm. And I realized early on that I could deliver babies, I could write prescriptions, I could do surgeries, but I couldn't heal anyone. I couldn't help women be whole. Only Jesus can do that.
Sure.
And as I was wrestling with some of all of that and also coming out of a period of deep distress in my own life, mm-hmm. I was driving to the hospital for work one morning on the freeway in Southern California when the Lord dropped something very marked in my spirit. I didn't know immediately all that that would involve, but that led me to go to seminary for theology training. And that combination of medicine and ministry has become kind of who I am ever since then.
That's amazing. Well, it certainly gives you an expertise in lots of ways. And I think what comes through to me in your writing is your heart for people. And as you said, maybe out of your pain. I know the Lord uses our pain a lot of times. But one of the things that I've noticed you deal with a lot is common problems people have. My husband always says, if you've been married for more than about 2 minutes, you know you have problems in your marriage. We all need help. We all need Jesus. But one of the problems people have or notice is that they feel like their spouse isn't meeting their needs. They're not getting what they want from them. I was wondering if you could address that a little bit for our listeners today.
Sure, Marty. I think I learned this in a large measure from my own marriage. I was blessed to be married to my loving husband when I was 48 years old. I had been single up until that point, my first marriage. Mm-hmm. I had grown a lot. I was a mature woman.
Yes.
But as God brought me to my marriage in that season of my life, I came to understand on a very personal level that even a healthy marriage with a godly, loving spouse doesn't meet everything that that you need.
Yes.
As a human being. And as I have talked with other husbands and wives, I hear this so frequently that there are things I'm not getting from my spouse that I really need.
Mm.
That can come from differing expectations. No one comes to marriage knowing exactly what it will be like, whether it's your first marriage or married again. You know, this relationship is unique. No
sure.
other human being can give you everything that you need. I believe it's a fact of life that one sinner marrying another sinner is a setup for pain.
Oh,
and
for
that
sure.
just is the truth. You know, you married a sinner, and so did your spouse.
That's right.
The hope there is that you don't have to stay stuck there.
Great. Well, there seems to be so much emphasis, and I don't think it's, I know it's not intended in a bad way, but I see a lot of emphasis in print, online, about what needs the spouse needs to meet, and what I should look to, how I should meet those needs, and these needs are super important, and maybe these are the top 10 needs of men, and these are the ones for women, but how do you fit what you just said in with that type of teaching? Is there a way that can work together?
I do believe it can work together, Marty. I think there's both sides to this. One is that looking to another human being to meet all of your own needs will always lead to disappointment. And I'd love to share in a minute some of how you as an individual might be able to address where you feel your own needs are not getting met. And then as far as it relates to your spouse, an important way to think about that, I believe, is the more you grow and the more you become a resilient, filled up, and mature human being, the more you will have to give to your spouse. Marriage is not so much about being happy, although in a godly, healthy marriage where both people are committed and loving, there is much happiness. But on a much deeper level, I truly believe marriage is about learning to love well. That includes finding healthy ways to get your own soul filled up so that you have something to give to your spouse. And part of loving is also learning to receive what your spouse can give. Finding gratitude for the needs they do meet and looking on the positive. This is something that grows over time, and the longer two committed people remain married, the more both of their needs can be filled.
I love that. That makes so much sense. Now, I know that your husband went to be with the Lord, was it in 2016? Is that?
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm so sorry, but I also know that I've seen you use things that God taught you in your marriage to help other people. So let's, if it's all right, let's look a little bit at your own marriage and how here you, as you said, you had your whole life. You were definitely a grown woman by the time you married him. I know when I got married, I found out I wasn't such a great Christian as I thought I was, but before I had to live with someone 24/7 and he had to see all my flaws. But how did God show you in a personal way that broad principle about God meeting my needs and maybe even change you as you went along in your marriage?
He certainly did change me. Marty, there's a couple things that come to mind that I thought I knew but didn't really understand until I was living it. One is about communication. The ways in which men and women communicate are actually quite different, and the way your spouse hears you comes through a very different filter. even if you grew up in a similar culture, the things that you say come with a whole, there's a whole history behind that, meanings and feelings and whatever. Women, for example, see communication as a way to connect with another human being.
Very much.
Most men, on average, see communication as a means of exchanging information. And for them, feelings feel vulnerable. For a woman, communicating without feelings feels superficial. So learning some of those differences helps you feel less put off when your spouse doesn't respond as you may think. So simply coming to understand each other makes a huge difference. That key to seeking understanding became so important for my husband and I. Well, one just very short practical example, when he and I became married, the bedroom environment at night became a challenge. He had, for a number of years, slept with the TV on playing all night. I had slept with the room quiet and dark at night.
Ooh.
And so when we became married, that created a tension. We didn't fight about it. We were adults. Mm-hmm. But there was a tension there. And it was some time into our marriage before we finally got to the bottom of things. One morning in the kitchen, he, as his health began to decline, became increasingly afraid that he would die in his sleep. Having the TV on allowed him to arouse himself just enough to sense that, okay, the TV's on, I'm still in this world, I can relax and go back to sleep. I came to understand that the sound was much more bothersome to me than the light from the screen. I could position myself where I couldn't see the TV and sleep. We shed some tears over that, both of us.
Sure.
And coming to understand, let us find a solution. So from that day until my husband went home to be with the Lord, we slept with the TV on and on mute, and we both could sleep.
There you
go. We found a solution.
Yes, that's a great example. It's funny how things that sometimes we build up in our mind before we talk about them, we build them up into this big thing, and once we actually have the courage to have the discussion, it turns out to be not such a big obstacle after all. At least that's been my experience.
Learning to seek understanding and learning healthy ways of communication helps you get on the same side. It's very different when you see your spouse as opposing you and you're coming at each other, shooting arrows at each other. It's a whole different experience when you can position yourselves on the same side and work on the issue in front of you, finding a shared solution, a totally different experience, and one that can actually bring you closer together. When couples are able to do that, to address a challenge from the same side and work toward a shared solution, conflict and challenges can actually bring you closer together. It's like a sports team. A team learns the most about each other and feels most bonded to each other when they are facing their hardest opponent.
Mm.
Same thing with your spouse. If you can see yourselves on the same team addressing this thing out there that's a problem and finding a solution together, it will actually bring you closer.
I love that. So that way your spouse isn't the enemy, but the obstacle or the problem is what you're working on to attack together. That's fantastic. Because so many times we find ourselves butting heads, or at least for the women, feeling like our spouse is the enemy. And of course, that takes us farther apart. So
it does. It does. Seeing that, seeing your spouse as the enemy always creates problems. Now, I want to just pause and acknowledge for just 10 seconds that there are marriages where a spouse is toxic, abusive,
yes,
hostile, and delights in causing pain. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a husband and a wife that are basically people of goodwill, but different, and finding solutions to come closer together. You know, God can bring restoration even in the hardest circumstances when he is given opportunity to do so.
And I imagine you've seen that multiple times with the ministry that you've had over the years.
Yes. I'm thinking right now of a pastor and his wife. He was involved in pornography, had been for a number of years, mm-hmm. and it was destroying their marriage just about completely. He temporarily stepped away from the ministry because of how overwhelmingly destructive it was. Well, God restored them. He's back preaching. Their marriage is restored. He is, you know, walked away from pornography. He's found freedom, living a life of sexual integrity. God can restore those kinds of things when he's given opportunity.
That's amazing, and I love to hear stories like that. That kind of story is exactly why we're doing this series, because we do want to give people hope, and there is hope, as you said, in Jesus. You have a wealth of information. Obviously, what's spilling out of you right now, what's on your website, on your blog. Can you give us? And I don't even know if this is possible, but I'm sure in the Lord it is. Your top three pieces of advice for someone who wants to succeed in marriage, whether it's, and again, we're not talking about an abusive relationship. Obviously, we don't want to encourage dysfunction. But for someone who really wants to succeed in their marriage, whether they're just starting out or they've been married a long time, give us three really good Dr. Carol takeaways, if you would, please.
I'd love to. Number one, learn to feed yourself. God makes mental, emotional, spiritual nourishment available just like he makes physical food available. Mm-hmm. Just like God makes fish swim in the ocean and grain grow in the field. But he doesn't bake your fish and put it on your plate or hand you a sandwich. You have to learn to find what you need and decide to take it into your being. It's the same with the soul nourishment that we need. It's out there.
Amen.
Some of it you will get from your husband or wife. Some of it you will need to look to other godly, healthy sources, but learn to feed yourself. There is no human being since the fall who has lived on this earth who has every single need met. But you can Amen. Learn to feed yourself. So that's number one.
That's number one. I love that. I'm writing these down too.
Great, Marty. Number two, shortly before I married my husband, I was listening to a radio program, and I wouldn't be able to tell you which program right now, but they were talking about marriage, and I heard two pieces of advice then that have stayed with me. And these are the other two pieces that I will recommend. One of them is study your spouse.
Mm.
That is a lifelong journey. Continue to learn what makes your spouse tick. What are their dreams, their hopes? What is the baggage from the past? Where is God working in their life? What are the places where they need healing? How does God see them? And therefore, who has he called you to be to them? So continue to study your spouse.
That's great. Good word.
And the last piece of advice that I heard on the radio is stay on your knees. And that is absolutely true. Two sinners married to each other are a setup for pain unless God is the glue holding you together. You absolutely need his intervention to truly have the kind of intimacy and relationship that he designed for you and that you desire. God is a God of intimacy. You know, the Father, mm-hmm. the Son, the Holy Spirit, intimate in himself. And he designed marriage, the intimacy in marriage, to be a picture of the intimacy he experiences and that he wants with us. Those aspects of intimacy in marriage, the physical intimacy, the emotional intimacy, even the spiritual intimacy, God has to be there to help foster that. So stay on your knees in that journey.
Those are perfect. Thank you so much. I've got my 1, 2, 3 list here now, and I know our listeners do too, but you mentioned to me before we started today, Dr. Carol, you have something special that you prepared for the listeners to this podcast. Would you tell us about that, please?
Thank you, Marty. Yes, we all communicate differently, Mm-hmm. And your communication style is probably very different from your spouse's. We have a communication personality style assessment, totally free. It's short. It only takes a couple minutes. And this communication personality style assessment allows you to, first of all, understand how you communicate. And mm-hmm. then in your personalized results, you will get some tips and suggestions for how you can use your style in stepping up the communication in your marriage. When we surveyed hundreds of couples, communication was the number one thing they wanted to be better Ooh. In their marriage. And this personalized communication style assessment helps you know where you are now and then what you can do using your personality communication style to step that up in your marriage. You can get that by texting HOPE MARRIAGE, one word, HOPE and marriage, no space between, just okay. text HOPE MARRIAGE to 44222. And I understand, Marty, there'll also be a link that listeners can go to in the show notes. You'll get a link directly to that personality style assessment, totally free.
That'll be awesome. Well, that's just a bonus for everyone besides all your wisdom that they've gotten to hear today. And I just want to thank you, Dr. Carol. I know you have a busier schedule than most of us, so I really thank you for making time to be with us. All right, Dr. Carol, I do have one more gift I would love for you to leave with our listeners, and that's if you would be willing to pray for them today.
Oh, yes. Oh, Heavenly Father, precious Jesus, sweet Holy Spirit, we know that you designed us for relationship, for intimacy, and that marriage, you designed it to be a picture of the way you'd want to be that close to us. For anyone married who's listening, husband or wife, however long they've been married, who is facing challenges right now, I just invite you to enter that situation and do your work in both husband's heart and wife's heart. Mm. Lord Jesus, you can restore, redeem, grow, and transform any situation where you are given opportunity to do so. Bringing you in, Lord Jesus, is the source of hope for our marriage. And I pray for everyone married right now that they will feel that hope of your presence, and that you will stay with them as they walk into the kind of relationship that you have designed for them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you again. And listeners, we never take your time for granted either. So thank you for being with us today on the Hope for Your Marriage series on Charisma News.